Hey, it's that trouble, man. Oh, hey, on the stereo, oh, uprise. You already know, yeah.
Zero for you, I won't stress or suffer.
Suffer.
Zero for you, my bros, we got that water. Zero for you, only God can make that prosper. You're a mannequin without no faith. Baby, you're a pagan. Say no, no, no.
I want to welcome everybody to the Jason and OC podcast. There's no format, there's no time on the clock, just me, Jay Bell, and my man OC telling stories from on and off the football field. Man, what is this new intro, man? Like, this uprise. I like this.
Do you like that,
Jay Bell? I like this, man. You keep coming, you keep coming with it.
It's an uprise, man.
I'm all about it.
There's an uprise coming to the music industry. It's a revolution.
Man, you've always been on ahead of the curve, my brother.
I love music, though, man. That's my thing. I absolutely love music, Jay Bell.
Man, I'm with it, man. I hear your passion. I know your passion.
Did you hear that girl's voice?
I mean, it was dope. What can I say? I was into it. And even if I wasn't, I'd probably tell you I was, but I really was into it. I really was.
My God.
I'm a little depressed today.
I know. I can see it in you.
I'm a little depressed today.
I can hear it in your voice inflection. That's why I switched up the music.
Okay.
I wanted to uplift you a little bit, but apparently it's not working, Jason.
It's not working.
What happened? Why are you
depressed? I'll introduce everybody into what happened to me. It's called the Vikings losing to Philadelphia.
Are they still your friends, though?
They are still my friends. Okay. I haven't called anyone. I haven't texted anyone. That's a heartbreaker, right? That's a heartbreaker.
But they didn't just lose. They got obliterated, Jason.
Brother.
They got beat to sleep.
Man.
They got... It's like,
did you say beat to sleep?
You already know what that means. They got beat to sleep, Jay Bell.
They did.
But I know what happened, though.
Tell me.
We're going to get into that.
Let's start with a little bit.
You want to get into that?
I need to get a little bit of that off my chest, or I cannot progress into our podcast.
What is that word?
Progress?
Progress? Progress?
Yeah.
What is that?
If you progress.
Yeah, but isn't that the word? Isn't it progress?
I was saying podcast and progress at the same time. So I thought I was trying to invent a new word. Podgress. You never heard of that? Podgress? It's a podcast.
Just keep digging. Keep digging.
Progress.
Keep digging, bro. You're going to get out of it. Keep digging.
Because I love, man, me and OC have random conversations all the time in. He always picks out some kind of word I've made up, and he's absolutely right. Okay, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
The Vikings.
Okay.
Your boys.
Let me give you a little credit.
Okay.
You said this before. You said, Jay Bell, they're not going to be able to bounce back from that victory. Too emotional. You can't recover. All that. I said, OC. In my normal response, OC, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You have no clue what you're talking about and all that. We were talking this morning, and you brought up an example of the Super Bowl 07.
Yeah.
And you said, imagine David Tyree catches that ball on his head, the game in the conference championship. He says, we don't bounce back from that.
Can't.
He said, that was our last game.
That's it.
You're right, man.
Bro, there's an emotion that comes out of you.
Yep.
When you do something so improbable, something that nobody gives you a chance to do, and you do it. There's a place that your mind, your body, your spirit goes to.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you can't now go back and play a football game after that.
No.
You're spent. You're emotionally drained. And I knew this was what was going to happen to Minnesota. They were in a situation where they had literally no chance of winning.
Yeah.
And they won. And now you're going to ask these same people to now get back ready to play another football game?
In a week.
It's just no way that we're going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And if that wouldn't have happened to them, if they would have beaten New Orleans in a regular situation, they would have played much better than they did. But you saw the way they got dominated. You saw the way they had nothing left. They were physically, mentally, emotionally drained.
Yeah.
And they were done. They couldn't win that game.
I think I read something, Terrence Newman saying something in the locker room. And Terrence Newman, friend of mine, been around. You like how I snuck that in there, right?
I do.
Been around a long time. But you got to respect what he says. And he mentioned that energy was off. Like, they just couldn't match Philly's energy. Mm-hmm. And that's something that absolutely ties into your thesis of them not being able to bring their A game again. I was watching it, you know, closely, and what they do on third down. And, you know, they're the top defense on third down, and they do a thing where they kind of sit on the sticks, right, the first down markers. And they've always done that, which you kind of got to throw the ball over their head to make plays. Right. Philly knew that. I mean, it was no-brainer. That's, they watch film, a lot of film. And you usually expect that defensive line of the Minnesota Vikings to get there. They just bring havoc. And they kind of did, but they weren't finishing plays. Mm-hmm. That's when you saw the big plays happen down the field, you know. Not all on them, but I when you look at the game and you play it over in your head, you just see things that they had never done wrong.
Did you play in that game? Because I kind of feel like you're taking this rather hard. Are you all right?
Yeah,
are you okay?
It's tough. It's tough because it is tough, man. I was really rooting for them, man. I'm a Giants fan. You know, that's what it is. The Giants checked out on me. I had nowhere to go.
I feel so bad for you, Jason.
I had no home. And the Vikings brought me in their home. Yeah. And I felt like I had a team for the year. Just for the year.
And they let you down.
I wanted this for them, man. You know, I really wanted this for them.
How about we give the Philadelphia Eagles the credit that they deserve?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I feel like lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. And lost in all the talk about Minnesota and this and that. That was a dominating performance Philadelphia Eagles start to finish.
Without a doubt.
Manhandled a really physical football team. Manhandled them.
We called the game saying it was going to be physical. We just didn't know it was going to be one-sided physical like that.
Right.
That their offense and defensive line definitely dominated the game. Nick Foles, man. Nick Foles. Nobody thought he was going to throw the ball deep right now. Nick Foles is not going to throw the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. What did he do? Got to give them credit. They look dangerous, man.
I know you were watching that, and you just had the – you just wanted to throw up.
It was tough, man.
Just let it go.
This is why I wanted to start with this, because ultimately, my friend, it really affected me.
When was the last time you threw up, Jason? I know that's a weird question. When was the last time you actually just got physically sick to your stomach?
Do you want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
It's been a long time. I don't usually do that.
Right.
But I've been physically sick to my stomach. That's just not the end result. But at the gym this morning, I'm using some mouthwash. Like a human being, they use mouthwash, mm-hmm. right? And I'm using the mouthwash, and then I go to get rid of the mouthwash. Mm-hmm. And a guy behind me goes, "Are you okay?"
Why did he ask you that?
He thought I was throwing up in the sink, and it was mouthwash. I said, "No, I'm washing my mouth." Like, I'm like, "What is this? That's crazy that you said it. This just happened this morning."
Yeah,
I'm like,
weird.
"Yo, bro, I'm just mouthwash."
I got to tell you about the last time physically ill. I was in college, Jason.
I'm not laughing because you got ill, by the way.
I was in college, mm-hmm. and I was dating this girl. Her name was Tanita, the sweetest, nicest woman I've ever met, besides my wife.
Besides my wife. We were getting close to to jumping off a cliff there.
Hear me out, though. Hear me out. So I remember, you know, we get like little breaks, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I needed to go home. And so I went to her, to Tanita. She was working a little job. I was like, "Listen, Tanita, I'm dead broke at this time. I have nothing." You know how college was.
Yeah, man, we're just surviving.
Especially for us. I know you went to a big school, UCLA. You might have got a little something under the table.
I don't want to talk about it out loud.
We didn't get any of that. You understand? So I'm in small school Troy. So I go to her. I'm like, "Listen, please, I need some money." Mm-hmm. She gives me $100.
That's big money back then.
In college, $100. Now,
it's game changer.
Man, this was I was so happy. I was so excited. You know what I do with this $100?
What did you do?
I go home.
Uh-huh.
And I go straight to the strip club, Jason Bell.
Why?
Because I'm just coming out of college. My boys are there. They're like, "Yo, listen, there's this new club that opened up." I take this $100 and I spent it in a strip club, Jason. Now, here's the worst part about it.
Oh my gosh.
And I go see Tanita.
Oh my gosh.
I go see this wonderful young lady who's giving me this $100. And she tells me her car's been impounded. I'm like, "Why was your car taken away?" She was like, oh, that she didn't pay her insurance. I was like, why didn't you pay your insurance?
No.
She gave me the last $100 she had, Jason.
Oh, see.
She gave me the last $100 she had, and what did I do? I took that money, and I spent it in a strip club. Jason, when she told me this, I went outside, and I literally threw up. Literally, I was like, huh. I have never felt so bad in my entire life, Jason. That was the worst I've ever felt in my life. Shout out to Tanita D.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
As you took me on this story, at some point just recently, I didn't know what we were talking about.
Right.
I just was locked in.
Right.
I didn't know why we were talking about this. I just was locked in.
Imagine.
And now it makes sense as you come full circle. I forgot we were talking about being physically ill.
Yeah.
Sick.
I was physically ill.
I was going to ask you. Mm-hmm. I was going to surprise you and ask you a young OC story.
Okay.
But that was a young OC story. But since we're on young OC stories, let's take it back to real young OC.
Which one? Are you talking about like
I want to go back to
fish
Nigeria.
And chips OC yeah. or Nigeria?
I want to go to Nigeria.
Okay.
I want to go to Nigeria.
Okay, now, no problem. I can go there immediately. Which one do you want now?
I just want something. I mean, it doesn't have to be okay. Just some. This is more for me than anything.
Okay. The only thing you have to do is ask me a question about your ghost, and I'll tell you anything that you want to know. You understand? I mean, there's so many things that happened to me. Eh? Hey, hey, the suffer, the way we suffer there. Let me tell you something that happened to me. So, my younger sister,
mm-hmm.
we used to eat something known as bread and tea mm-hmm. for breakfast, okay. bread and tea. But the tea wasn't the same kind of tea that you guys have over here. It was just carnation milk and water, and they put sugar, and we just stir it around. So we call that one tea now.
Carnation milk.
So my little sister was sleeping, and for some reason she had fallen asleep with a piece of bread in her hand. You know what I do? Because I'm a very mischievous young boy. So I now go to her as she's sleeping. I take her bread and I eat it. She wakes up. The first thing in her mind is, where's my bread? She now goes to tell her mom that, obviously, it was just me and her in the house. She said, oh, she ate my bread. You know what my mom does? She's like, no problem. You like bread, eh? No problem. She goes, she brings me upstairs. She takes me to her room, locks me inside her room, goes to the store, buys 15 loaves of bread. 15 loaves of bread. Puts it in the room. I swear to God, she's like, since you like to steal bread, eat as much bread as you can. I'm sitting in there crying, eating bread. Just
she locked you in the room.
Locked me in the room and said, eat bread until you can't eat bread anymore. J-Bell, that was the last time I stole anything in my life. I learned my lesson.
That's a legitimate lesson learned.
Learned my lesson, man.
Oh, you like bread?
You like bread? Eat the bread.
Eat the bread.
Another lesson that, for some reason, I can't seem to learn is betting against Tom Brady.
Oh, man. What?
What is that?
What is that? I'm going to tell you. How do I pull this back to the Minnesota game? I don't know. But when Minnesota goes down and scores on their first drive, I thought, oh, my gosh, it's the same thing's going to happen that happened to Jacksonville.
Right.
First of all, man, Gronk goes out. And you're like, oh, this is Jacksonville's shot. Gronk's out the game. They're playing man-to-man. I mean, they play a lot of zone, too. But, you know, this is the matchup, right? Nah.
Doesn't even matter.
Don't worry about it. This dude's going to find a way. This is when we have that conversation on offensively, you can't get too conservative even though you have a lead because you can't keep giving him opportunities. You can't keep Tom Brady giving him the ball. He's going to do something with it. He's going to score. Man, and that's what he did. My gosh, they moved that ball methodically down the field and just Josh McDaniels, shout out to him though.
Picked him apart. Picked apart the Jacksonville Jaguars in that second half. First half, Jacksonville dominated the game.
What?
Dominated.
Yeah.
Physically dominated the New England Patriots. They did the way you're supposed to beat New England is you have to take away the coaches.
You've always said that.
Have to take away the coaches.
Make it about the players.
Have to make it a physical matchup between you and them.
Yep.
And this is what Jacksonville was able to do.
You always said that.
Second half, New England was like, you know what? Nah. We're not gonna allow you to take away our coaching.
Nope.
And they executed flawlessly.
Nope.
I didn't think they were gonna be able to do that.
I didn't. You know what though? I always find a way to talk about defensive backs, right? Gilmore, man.
Mm.
The play of the game.
He did.
You pay him all that money. You go get him. People are questioning because at the beginning of the year, he was shaky trying to figure out the defense. That play he made, breaking up that ball, that was athletic.
He came up big.
What? And that's when you needed him. That's why you have a guy that can match up one-on-one and make those kind of plays. So ultimately, you look at this, you look at what they've done. They started slow. They had all these question marks, especially defensively. But by game five, they just started to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And from that stretch on, they've just gotten better. And that kind of goes back to what you hear Belichick say, which he doesn't say much, that you don't know your team until, you know, week five or so. And then I feel like he just starts to understand who they are that year, that they just continue to put themselves in situations to be successful. Because, my God, they just turn it on.
They do. Every single year. But you know what that does, though? That sets up an outstanding Super Bowl.
Man.
This is going to be an outstanding Super Bowl, dude, because of the way the Philadelphia Eagles play.
Yes.
Now, what are they going to do? They are dominant on the offensive and defensive lines of the football. They're going to rush eight people at Tom Brady. They're going to rattle him. This is going to be a very difficult game for the New England Patriots, man. A lot of people are picking New England like, oh, New England is just going to walk over Philadelphia.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No. Not with Nick Foles feeling that confidence he's got right now. Mm-hmm. That's really what you were worried about, right? Carson Wentz was just so having such an MVP caliber year that when he falls off, you're like, oh, you know, that's the team. That's what's going on. And let it be known, Nick Foles wasn't back there being super mobile, but he was stepping up in the pocket the same way Brady does.
Letting it go.
Using the pocket, you know, staying in there, pocket movement, standing tall, you know, taking a couple hits.
Did you know Nick Foles was an outstanding basketball player?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, he's tall.
Some for you to learn today. He got recruited to play college basketball by like big schools like Georgetown, you know, like really big schools. He was like a really good point guard, and I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. And you know, when you look at basketball guys that play football, whether it be tight ends, most of the time a quarterbacks, they always usually have pretty good footwork because they're used to working in that confined space to get open, like in basketball. If he is a point guard, it's a little different, but he's got to have, you know, decent footwork. By the way, can you hoop?
Oh, I'm a baller.
Really?
Jason, there's really not one sport. There's not one sport that I'm not good at, Jason, in case you don't know.
I know. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. I have a question for you.
All right.
We talk about issues in our world today, government issues, especially on the other side of the water,
yeah.
The U.S.
The United States.
Yeah.
Shout out to the United States.
Yeah. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
As you probably know, there was a government shutdown, right?
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
Of course there was a government shutdown.
I want to throw this question at you. It's off the wall. In the United States of OC, okay, if you had a government shutdown in the United States of OC in your house,
okay,
what gets shut down first? You got to shut it down. What do you turn off first?
Okay, first of all, who are my constituents? Let's talk about that first. Who are my constituents? And that way I'll know. Is it okay? It's just my wife, my kid.
Yeah. Yes.
So
yes.
Those are my constituents.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's keep it very tight.
And what am I trying to?
And your friends.
And my friends.
You can bring them in because you know that can be, you know, entertainment type things.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
So what is the purpose of this so-called government shutdown?
We're not digging that deep into it. We're just you have to shut down your government. You have to pick and choose what goes first.
Ah, what goes first?
Yeah.
That's interesting, Jason.
Right?
That's a great question.
I don't know.
What would I have to shut down first? Probably my eating habits, Jason. I think that's the first thing.
So you would put it on you first.
I would.
A real man of the people.
I would. I would put it on me first. I would eliminate the cornflakes that I'm eating at, you know, 11 o'clock at night that I sprinkle with so much sugar. I'll have to cut that out because that has to go first. There's just so many things, man. What would you do, Jason?
Oh man, what would I eliminate?
What would you eliminate?
This wasn't directed towards me though.
Yeah, you just wanted to throw it at me, right? You just want to keep throwing all the questions my way. You answer the question.
What would I eliminate first?
Yeah.
Man, probably Whole Foods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
because you spend quite a bit of money.
I mean, I like all the smoothies and stuff like that. That right. probably have to go first. I mean, since you're all about, you know, eliminating stuff for yourself personally, you're gonna be a stand up guy. I'll be a stand up guy too.
Yeah, but speaking of eliminating things, you probably didn't see this tweet thing that I tweeted about Nando's. Have you ever had Nando's before?
Listen to me, my friend.
Yeah, Nando's.
I did see that tweet.
Jeez.
I'm so sad that you brought that up first.
Why?
Because I wanted to throw it at you.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
Nando's is amazing.
So good. So good.
When I first came out here, Nadine took me to Nando's. Mm-hmm. It's a game changer.
People would tell me about Nando's, blah, 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 Blando's, this, Nando's. I was like, it's chicken. You know, it's chicken.
But it's special.
It's chicken.
It's special chicken.
That's what I found out. And I bit into some Nando's for the first time the other day.
Oh.
And I was so inspired by what I tasted that even before I finished my first wing, I immediately sent out that tweet. I was like, this is what all the fuss is about. Nando's is incredible. Never had anything like it.
What kind of sauce did you have?
It was just the peri-peri, but it was just like, you know, they have like levels of
heat.
Yeah. How mine was like the medium. Okay. I didn't even go all the way up.
You didn't jump off the deep end?
No, I didn't go all the way up. But you could tell, like when I was finished eating the wings, you could tell, like, yeah, I know I was born in England, but you could tell I was African. You could 100% tell.
Why? How?
Because there wasn't like a little, you know, the gristle? There wasn't even a little gristle left. Like, when an African eats chicken, right?
Oh, God.
They not only eat every piece of chicken off of it.
Right.
They eat the top part. You know the little, they eat that part too. So when I was looking at my bones, I was like, I know I was born here. I know I was born in London, but I'm 100% African. I'm as Nigerian as it gets. And I knew that for a fact after I saw my chicken bones from Nando's.
Nando's brought you back home.
Took me right back to Nigeria, man. You think I'm joking?
No.
You gotta see the difference between a British and an American eating chicken.
True.
And an African eating chicken. Because we know the value. We know the value of every last piece of that chicken, J-Bell.
You know, you just can't hide from yourself sometimes. You try to be all buttoned up and, you know, figure it all out. And then all of a sudden you're like, nah, this is exactly who I am.
Speaking of that, like my wife also. My wife is Angolan. She's African also. Mm-hmm. Tell you something my wife does that.
Shout out to your wife.
Shout out to Layla. That makes me laugh. Mm-hmm. We can be eating chicken wings or whatever we're eating, and there's like a half of a piece of a wing left. She wouldn't throw it away. She won't. She doesn't believe in that. She's what I like to call a hoarder of things. You look in our fridge, and it'd be like little bitty pieces of food that she has just stored away because she will not throw anything away, Jason. It's the hardest thing for me to understand. But I guess I do. I guess I do get it. But it's so weird to go in the fridge and you see maybe a teaspoon of rice. You're like, you could have either eaten that or you could have thrown it. Like, why? She's like, no, I'll eat this tomorrow. I'm like, what? You're going to eat this tomorrow with what? I'm confused. That's her though, man.
Hey, at least she doesn't waste.
Yeah, I know.
You'll never have that problem.
Never.
You always
check out the fridge. Next time you come over, check out the fridge.
You know, shout out to Layla. Let me come over and hang out with my friend.
Yeah.
But can't go in the fridge.
You can't go in the fridge.
It's just like a... Can't open your fridge.
But I want you to look, just so you know. So the next podcast, you'll be like, this guy was telling the truth.
What about friends that come over and like, do you got any friends that come over and like do that, like open your fridge?
I don't have a lot of friends, man.
Man. You got me, and I'm over there all the time.
Like, you're my guy. But outside of that, I don't really have a whole bunch of friends, man.
Okay, I'm gonna keep the fridge closed.
Yeah, just go in there, open it up, see what you got going on, and you'll know.
I'll know exactly what's happening, man. Oh,
so we're leaving, huh? We're leaving. Headed out to Minnesota.
We are.
And are you excited?
I am so excited. I know. How do you feel about this Super Bowl? This is your anti-Super Bowl. Give me the – don't be politically correct.
I'm not going to be.
Give me how you feel.
Okay. I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Give me that.
I'm going to be – I am despondent.
I can't spell that.
I am desolate.
Another word I can't spell.
I feel like I've been betrayed by the NFL gods for allowing this to happen. You see, I'm in the unfortunate position of having talked trash about Philly not winning any Super Bowls earlier this year.
True.
And I'm in the unfortunate position of having, since 2007, talked trash about the New England Patriots. Mm. Only to see the New England Patriots versus the Philadelphia. Somebody's going to have to win this game.
Somebody's got
to
win.
Somebody's going to have to win. And either way, I'm going to be upset. If Philly wins their first Super Bowl, I'm going to be mad. If New England wins their sixth Super Bowl, I'm probably going to be a little bit madder.
I know.
So what am I supposed to do here, J-Bell? Tell me.
I don't know. You got to be a professional. You got to approach it like that. That being said, I'll swing it towards that. Can this D-line be as disruptive as you once were against the New England Patriots? The D-line of the Philadelphia Eagles, can they bring that interior pressure with Fletcher Cox and company the same way?
Jason, they're a good defensive line, and there's no question about that. And they rush in waves, but to ask them to do what we did to the New England Patriots twice is that's a tall order because I don't know if they have those caliber of football players on their team. You're talking about when we had three Pro Bowlers each time.
No doubt.
Defensive line.
No doubt.
So it's a difficult thing. Now, they're going to be able to harass Brady, no question. They're going to be able to get to Brady, no question. Interior, that Fletcher Cox on the outside, Chris Long, Vinnie Curry, Grant. These guys are outstanding football players. But are they going to be able to close out the games the way we did? You saw Jacksonville. Jacksonville got to New England a little bit.
Yep.
But remember when we were talking, I was like, they don't have those killers on the edge, those stone-cold guys who are really going to go – That's what led to their downfall because they couldn't really pressure the way we were able to from start to finish. Yeah. And I'm not sure Philadelphia is going to be able to do this. I think they have a really good chance of doing it, but I'm not sure they're going to be able to do it.
Even with that rotation, how they rotate guys in and out.
Yeah.
I got something to tell you.
Okay.
Tell me how you feel about this.
Mm-hmm.
Through my resources, I was discussing one time about Philly and what they were doing, things of that nature. And somebody said this, somebody who knows goes, nobody really wants to talk about it, but some things Chip Kelly brought around here have stayed.
Okay.
And that concept is rotating that defensive line like they did, because that was something he had done in college.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how they had that speed of the offense, right?
Yeah.
So they were pushing in all these plays, going fast. So the big issue was defensively, could your guys hold up from maybe a quick three and out? Or even if you had two series, you might be back on the field really fast. And, you know, your D-line needs to rest.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that and a lot of what they do as far as their nutrition is from Chip Kelly. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Well, you know, you learn something new every day, right? Yeah.
And nobody,
at least he did something.
Yeah. Nobody's really talking about that. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, he did other things. But that's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because that kind of philosophy kind of stuck. A couple of those defensive linemen they drafted hadn't really come into their own. But under that kind of health and nutrition and figured out your body and stuff like that, those guys kind of became what they are now.
Philly, man, built. They're built so well.
Yep.
Such a solid football team, man.
Man.
You build your team with the offensive line, the defensive line, and then you look at the receivers who completely outshined the Minnesota
Another Vikings. Shout out to you. You said that, and I called you out as being absolutely crazy.
J-Bell, you're a DB. I don't understand what you were thinking.
First of all, offensively, they had a great game plan call, because that run-pass option was working on the short stuff, right?
I'm not trying to.
The RPOs were working.
No, you said Phelan and Diggs were better receivers.
They are.
Than Torrey Smith.
They weren't yesterday.
Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey.
They weren't.
Forget the
on
system.
Sunday.
Forget the system. Mm-hmm. Let's just say straight up.
Yep.
Receiver for receiver.
Yep.
You mean to tell me you're going to take Phelan?
Yep.
And Diggs.
Yep.
Over those three?
Well, over two. I got to choose two of them.
Two. Whichever two.
Yeah. Yes.
That's craziness.
Yeah, Alshon Jeffries holds it down on his own, but
Torrey Smith,
he's a one trick pony. He can run. Okay. I like Torrey, dope dude. You know, cool dude. But he's a vertical guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Nelson Aguilar is the reason he stepped up this year is because he did not have to be a number one receiver anymore.
Okay,
so he had the pressure off of being the number one guy and having the number one corner covering.
So overall, you really mean to tell me that you thought in your head?
Yes, I did.
That the Minnesota Vikings receivers,
yes.
Feeling and
yes.
Diggs.
Yes, I did. Oh, for sure. For sure I did. Yeah. I still do. They weren't better on Sunday.
I'm confused.
They weren't better on
Completely
Sunday.
Completely confused by that.
And you said they weren't going to be better on Sunday, and you were right because the team wasn't better.
Completely confused by that.
No, it's
you
not
know
confused.
That's like saying –
I
like
have
saying,
to cover those guys.
That's like saying Yannick Ngakoue is a better player than Von Miller because he had more sacks. It makes absolutely no sense. Because Thielen had more yards – Because Thielen, how are you going to? Because
he's a better receiver. His body of work is better.
Better than who?
Than
Torrey Smith. Better than
this
Alshon
year? Yes,
Jeffrey.
Yes.
Alshon Jeffrey is an All Pro player.
He is
Pro Bowl player.
I didn't say one guy.
Who?
I said the duo of the Minnesota Vikings were better than the duo or trio of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I stand by that.
Those guys are their system players.
I don't have much of an argument because they lost the game, OC. So, I mean, what do you want me to do?
There's a difference between
argue about getting beat up and saying get beat up.
There's a difference between system players and players who are just physically gifted. And I think that's where
Diggs is physically gifted. Alshon Jeffrey's physically gifted. Adam Thielen is physically gifted also.
Better than Torrey Smith?
Yes.
No.
Yes, he is.
His body of work doesn't speak to that,
man.
He just is.
And we'll see next year. We'll continue this argument when they get back on the field. But right now, I cannot have this argument because they are no longer on the field.
They're done.
They're done.
They're finished.
I think you're winning too many of the arguments today.
Yeah.
So I think I'm done.
You're done? You're through?
Yeah, I think.
You got nothing else?
No, I'm a little emotionally drained.
I can see it.
Yeah. You,
I can feel your temperature.
Yeah, you kind of.
Temperature is rising.
So I just want to – I don't want to talk to you right now, so I want to thank everyone for downloading and subscribing to the Jason and OC podcast.
I got to make you feel better, though.
What's
up? We're going to give you that music again.
I want that music.
That's going to make
and,
you feel
and,
better.
And let's do the next one from Minnesota. What do you think about that, OC?
I can't wait.
All
it's
right.
going to be cold.
It's going to be cold. Yeah. But you know what? You know your football and you know your music. Let me get that outro.
Uprise. You already know, yeah.
Zero for you, I won't stress or suffer. Zero for you, my bros, because that one's up. Zero for you, only God can make that prosper. I'm a true believer, boy, you're nothing, just a pagan. Moving like a pagan, sin on us to hate us. I'm a true believer, boy, you're nothing, just a pagan.
They can't take my freedom, they can't slow my progress. I'm no preacher or prophet, but no man can cause who God bless. Man try close my chapter, man just cause I'm dapper. Go slow then go faster, catch me if you can find young and summer.